Hello and welcome to the CGF's Sustainability Podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in our new series where we take a deep dive into all things sustainability, from forced labour to plastics, deforestation, food waste and refrigeration. Our industry has a clear responsibility to address these issues, and we hope that this podcast series will give you a little insight into the strategies of the key players working behind the scenes to tackle the challenges facing our industry and indeed the planet. I'm delighted to be joined today by Solitaire Townsend, founder of global change agency Futera. And we're recording the episode from Vancouver, where we're here at the CGF's Global Summit. Hi, Solitaire. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been an absolutely fantastic summit so far, and we're not even done yet.
I know, it's been absolutely fantastic this year. So let's dig in, Solitaire. We'd love to hear more about Futera. Could you give me and our listeners, of course, some insight into your mission and your work?
Well, thanks. So Futera, I co-founded Futera in 2001. So it's our 18th birthday this year. And we were founded on this deep conviction that sustainable development, by which you mean environmental and social progress, purpose, CSR, whatever you choose to call it, making the world a better place, should be desirable. It should be something which people want to do, not just have to do. Now, we know we have to do it. There's uncontrovertible proof that from social equity through to environmental challenge, we have to do it. But that desirability, that want, rather than just the need, is a core part of Futera. And the way we go about doing that over the years, the decades that I've been working in this movement, is we discovered that you needed two things. You needed the logic, the hard science, the insights, the targets, the big goals, the whole infrastructure and architecture of change inside your organization. But you also needed the magic. You needed the human truths, the messaging, the creativity, all the way through to the advertising and the and what you do on your website. And so Futera is a hybrid. We're a hybrid of the logic, sort of an advisory firm working on the hard plans to change your organization towards sustainability, but also a magic, a creative agency helping to tell that story.
So during your plenary session, you announced the addition of new insights to the Honest Product Guide. So could you give us a few spoilers? What have you uncovered in this latest round of research?
So as you know, in late 2018, at the CGF Sustainable Retail Summit in Lisbon, we launched the Honest Product Guide. So this was a guide that included some consumer research, some insights from the industry, and also a whole load of tools and tactics to be able to be more honest around your product's impacts socially, environmentally, on health and wellness, and on safety. And I know that so many CGF members are now using it. In fact, I've done a lot of workshops with CGF members on it. But at all of those workshops, the piece that people just really wanted more on is what's really going on with the consumer on this. We've now got these tools, and in fact, as Futera, we're working on new tools. We've got these great tools to help us decide what to be honest about, where to put our transparency, but we still don't really understand where the consumer is at this. So this month, in fact, end of May, beginning of June, we wanted it to be absolutely fresh. We did a survey, quite a depth survey, and we asked things which hadn't been asked before in the UK, in the USA, in India, and in South Africa. We asked consumers, particularly millennials and Gen Z, about honesty of brands, about honesty of products, about honesty of retailers, about honesty around specific issues and what they want more information on. And the results blew me away. Now, we were actually planning to also go into market and to test in Mexico, in France, in Japan, and in Brazil. But we didn't because the results from the first part of the survey surprised us so much, we decided to go back and actually check them and do the survey again because they were so strong. And of course, the second survey with a different group of people, same sampling, came back the same, which means we'll now go flow forth to other countries, including China and others, after the CGF summit. So let me give you a couple of headlines from it, because it just was absolutely mind-blowing.
Super, yes. And I just wanted to check Gen Z, that's 18 to 22-year-olds, right?
For us, for the survey sampling, it was 18 to 22-year-olds, mm-hmm. but crucially 18 to 22-year-olds who are no longer living at home. So 18 to 22-year-olds who actually are consumer goods purchasers, that they are, and in fact in India and South Africa, many of them are already parents. And then the millennials are 22 up to mid-30s. Okay. So we asked very, very, very clear questions around, are brands honest about how their factory workers are treated? Are brands honest about how environmentally friendly their products are? Are brands honest about how healthy their products are? And are brands honest about how safe their products are? Now, the millennials came back, as expected, being a bit cynical. You know, we've all had this experience of millennials, that they are questioning, that they're not very deferent towards brands. Yeah. They don't just accept what they're told. And we found that, for example, in the USA, 66% of millennials, those 22 and overs, think that brands are not honest with how environmentally friendly their products are. 57% don't think brands are honest about how their factory workers are treated. Then we asked Gen Z, and this is where we put, this is where I was so shocked I had to put the survey back into field, which is Gen Z, the under 22s, who, by the way, this as of this year, are now the largest generation in the world. There's more Gen Zs than there is of any other generation. They are about to become the largest consumer group. 83% of them don't think brands are honest about factory workers. 82% of them don't think brands are honest about environmentally friendly products. And it goes on and on and on. Essentially, all of them, near to all. This was deeply shocking. There's a big difference between millennials and Gen Zs. Gen Zs, these under 22, are not mini millennials. They have their own unique perspectives. Now, this gets even more telling when, for example, we ask them about how satisfied they are with the change that brands are making. Again, in the US, 64% of millennials are quite satisfied with the brand, with the difference brands are making to make the world a better place. So 64% are quite satisfied. Gen Zs, 12% are quite satisfied.
Gosh, yes, that is shocking,
and 27% are unsatisfied. Yeah. So basically you lose half of the consumer's satisfaction between one generation and the next. And we see these trends playing out, not just in the US, but the same trend with different numbers, the same trend in the UK, in India, in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But what shocked me most about the whole survey, and we went into great detail, country by country, issue by issue, and all of that we'll be making public. But what shocked me most was the perception of the millennials and the Gen Zs towards familiar household brand names versus the new challenger brands. So we all have been experiencing the, should we say, surge of challenger brands and their claims of authenticity, their great personalization, their new tone of voice, the fact that the barriers to entry are so low for them coming into market. And we found that when asking about honesty, remember, I'm not asking about affinity, I'm not asking about brand love, I'm just asking about honesty. We found that only 30% of millennials think that challenger brands are more honest than household brands.
So challenger brands would be sort of Beyond Meat, Veja Shoes, those sorts of companies.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All the way through to perhaps kind of the Honest Tea, who I interviewed here on stage. And they get, in every sector that you could name, you know, 10 more. And perhaps all the way through to like a Fenty in cosmetics. Mm-hmm. So those would be the challenger brands. And 30% of the millennials think that those challenger brands are more honest about social, environmental, health and wellness and safety issues than the household familiar brands. Now, that number goes down quite significantly in places like India. Yes. Only 11% of millennials in India think those challenger brands are more honest because there's a great deal of trust of familiar brands. Then we go to the Gen Zs. So 30% of millennials think that challenger brands are more honest, and that's been driving that growth in that sector. 30% is quite a lot. Mm-hmm. 65% of Gen Zs think the challenger brands are more honest. It's a direct flip. Only 35% of Gen Zs think that the familiar household brands. It is the absolute opposite between the millennials and the Gen Zs. And even in India, we go from 11% of the Indian millennial consumers. These are parents, mm-hmm. these are homeowners, these are workers. Only 11% think that challenger brands are more honest. When you go to Gen Z, it goes up to 19%. It's almost a doubling. So although it's still a small number, the trend is absolutely clear.
So do you have any idea why this may be? Is it perhaps because Gen Z have grown up with Snapchat, Instagram stories, and they're used to seeing and expect now that the truth, as opposed to overly curated content from their friends and perhaps brands too?
Absolutely. So I'm not a market research firm. We commissioned this from a market research firm. I'm a change agency. Mm-hmm. My job is working out what you do about this.
Yes, absolutely.
So once we got the survey results, and we were as shocked by them as I suspect quite a lot of the audience here were when I launched this yesterday. So we did some very small qual testing. We began to understand and actually talk to some of the Gen Zs and millennials. Now, think about who the iconic millennial was, particularly as the millennials were coming of age. Mark Zuckerberg, in many ways, the poster child for the millennial. Digital native, absolute disruptor, changed the world around him, and also, particularly in the early days of Facebook, very, very purposeful, driven about the change they wanted to see in the world. Billionaire, working within the system, unquestionably a capitalist. Mm-hmm. Then think about who increasingly, arguably, is the iconic face of the Gen Zs. It's Greta Thunberg, the Swedish climate campaigner who is just energizing and activating young people around the world. This is not a capitalist.
No.
This is not a businesswoman. This is not someone who is going to work within the system. This is not someone who wants to change the system around them. This is somebody who wants to, arguably, with some good reason, smash the system.
Absolutely.
So Greta Thunberg is an activist. She's angry and she is telling young people around the world that they have been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a generation who have grown up to question, they've been trained to question fake news. They have been told that they've been lied to. For them, secrecy, even secrecy that is a promise, secret ingredients or special, we can't tell you because it's so special. They find that suspect and they hold sincerity as sacred.
Mm.
Sincerity, not authenticity, actually. Mm. Authenticity is being true to who you are. That's the dictionary definition. Sincerity is being without deceit. And I think you're going to begin to find the fact that whilst the millennials are very motivated by that sense of purpose, that sense of authenticity, that is a bedrock which isn't going to change for a very large part of your consumer market.
Mm-hmm.
For the Gen Zs, you have to now add on to authenticity, you have to add on sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And to purpose, you have to add on proof.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Solitaire. Very interesting indeed. So we're currently here in Vancouver, as we said, surrounded by some of the CEOs from the biggest consumer goods companies. What, in your opinion, is the value of the Consumer Goods Forum to drive action?
So this is my first CGF Summit, and I will admit to being blown away. It's been extraordinary to have this number of CEOs, of leaders, of brand owners in the room, talking to each other, listening to each other, not just turning up to make a speech, but actually coming and actually listening to the sessions. I'm not sure I've ever spoken to that many CEOs all at once as when I was up on the main stage.
A little overwhelming.
Well, you know, sometimes they need to be told. But so I think there's a really, really fantastic opportunity for pre-competitive action. So the amount of conversations that there've been about packaging, the amount of conversation there's been about workers and farmers, the amount of conversations that there've been about deforestation. Let's be honest, there has been some really big challenges, massive challenges, and I have to say quite right challenges made to the Consumer Goods Forum by Greenpeace and by others around issues of deforestation. And actually this gives the opportunity, pretty much the only opportunity, opportunity that exists for the industry to get together and actually push each other, both the leaders pushing the laggards, but also overall the industry coming together to decide what it can, what it should, what it's capable, what it might be able to do.
So what piece of advice would you give, or maybe you have already given this week, to our member companies who are seeking to drive this positive change?
So many of the companies are already there. The retailers, the large brands, you know, as Futera, we work with so many of these businesses. And so many of them already understood the fact that there is a very clear case for change. And the case for change is both internally driven, that there is innovation to be had here, that there is new markets to be opened here, but it's also morally driven in the fact that there is a responsibility to be taken here. My one piece of advice to the CEOs who are here is to remind them that the social and environmental challenges that we must confront, that we must solve, from climate change to poverty, these are the biggest entrepreneurial opportunity of a generation. Mm-hmm. The businesses that are able to find solutions to those for their consumers and for the wider world will be the businesses who dominate the 21st century. And the businesses that do not, who don't innovate, who don't invent entrepreneurial solutions, who don't work on their business model, who don't bring new products to market, which are radically lower impact. Mm-hmm. The businesses who don't confront this, actually, they're not going to get destroyed. They're going to be forgotten. Yes. And I think that the greatest risk for businesses at the moment are losing their, and for brands, are losing their relevance with these millennial and Gen Z consumers mm-hmm. who around the world, as we've proven, are demanding change. Mm-hmm. So entrepreneurialism. And let's be fair, there's a lot of managerial mindsets still within retail and within consumer goods. But this is the generation of entrepreneurs.
So a lot of brands are understandably nervous about being transparent and honest, as they don't have a perfect story to tell. How would you encourage them to take this leap?
When I work with my clients, there's so often this internal concern, worry, around the fact that if we are actually honest about what's happening, then because things aren't perfect, we're going to be criticised. We must find a claim. I would kill off the language of claims around social and environmental issues. Claims is a marketing manipulative word. Mm-hmm. It's an attempt to tell the consumer what she should care about and attempting to impress the consumer with how perfect you are. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, on social and environmental issues, it's near impossible to be perfect. None of us as individuals are perfect. So kill off the language of claims around particularly social and environmental issues, and instead think about how you can have an honest conversation, a question and answer. I always think back to the fantastic label that Innocent Smoothies had on their drinks in the early days whilst they're trying to become 100% recycled packaging. They said 30% recycled plastic and we're working on the rest. Mm-hmm. That is a way to be absolutely straightforward and sincere in your honesty, in your claim, per se, mm-hmm. without actually having to say it's 100%, it's not 100%. Yeah. So this is a different way of the way that marketing usually works. Marketing mm-hmm. usually works by finding the thing which you are better at than yes. anybody else. Sustainability honesty is about going into a real, true conversation with your consumers about your journey and about your story, which, by the way, on these issues, they want to hear so much more. And in fact, our survey revealed this. So we asked, again, the millennials and the Gen Zs, how would it affect their trust levels to hear about problems and challenges and aspirations that companies were doing? So let's be very clear. If you're going to say that you're only 30% somewhere, if you're only 32% somewhere, you have to be very clear that you're working on the rest yeah. and how yeah. and when, and you have to keep those promises. Mm-hmm. So do not underdeliver on those mm-hmm. promises. But actually, the majority said that it would make them trust you mm-hmm. more mm-hmm. if that they could actually really see what you were working on and how.
So earlier this year, I read your book, The Happy Hero, and found it hugely inspiring. It brightened up my commute every day.
I'm so pleased.
So for those who haven't read the book, how would you encourage individuals to take small steps on a daily basis to really to contribute towards this positive global change?
So Happy Hero, the absolute core of the Happy Hero, is based on a great deal of research that I did with sociologists and with psychologists about what gets people to change. And fear is an extremely poor motivator for change. Sometimes we can make small changes based on fear, but it doesn't always actually kickstart those long lifetime lifestyle changes. So the core of the Happy Hero is about knowing absolutely that the changes that you're going to make will make a difference, knowing that it is absolutely possible for us to overcome the challenges that we face, that generations before us have overcome their own challenges, even though they felt in the moment utterly insurmountable each time they've done it. And now we get the benefit of looking back from where we are to see the path that they took, and it seemed natural, it seemed obvious, it seemed like they were always going to win. The arc of history bends towards it. But that sense that actually what you do every day in your life, be it changing your energy supplier, doing your recycling, donating blood, volunteering, purchasing differently, reusing, all the small things which we need to do in our lives, that those things genuinely do have a difference. Because I am a massive proponent for people power along with powerful people. Now, arguably, we're here with the powerful people in CGF, with the CEOs who have hundreds of thousands, millions of people who work for them and who serve billions of people around the world. But let us remember that they serve those billions of people. And if those billions change their behaviors, their choices, their purchasing habits, then all the companies that are here will change their products and services to meet them.
Absolutely. I'm a huge believer in that. I find it frustrating when people say, oh, but you're only one person. What's the point in being vegan, buying those sustainable shoes, or recycling correctly? I believe also that when you take positive actions, you know, you start to see changes in the people around you too, your family and friends, as well as, of course, influencing the companies in this supply demand system that we live in.
It's already happening. Like, from changes in consumer diet, how people are moving towards more vegetarian, more healthy, to changes in radical changes in consumer expectation of packaging, which is pushing for great deal, far more than legislation is pushing. The reason why the folks who are here are so active and having these conversations about packaging is not because of the threat of regulation. It's because their consumers are a little bit dissatisfied with how guilty they feel at point of disposal. You do not want consumers feeling grumpy about your product when they come to dispose it. It's not, should we say, the value chain that you want to be, the promise you want to be making to your consumers. So how all of us as individuals are beginning to change our perceptions. And remember, teaching your kids is a behavior. Voting is a behavior. Who you work for is a behavior. All these factors, this people power, the people power of employees, the people power of citizens, the people power of consumers, are the biggest untapped force for change. Well, actually, I say untapped, they're already doing it. Yeah. And the extraordinary thing, which is, for example, the Eat Lancet report that was published earlier this year, in fact, that showed that a diet that is better for you as an individual, that could reduce, I think it was something ridiculous, like 40 million deaths from heart disease around the world if people adopted this diet, it's also the diet that would have a radically beneficial impact on reducing carbon dioxide and methane. That there is all of this serendipity between the lifestyles that we need to live in order to meet the Sustainable Development Goals and the lifestyles that we should want to live because they're better for us. That was actually the driving force behind another project that we did that actually came out of the Happy Hero partly, which was the Good Life Goals. So Futera partnered with the United Nations, with UNEP, with WBCSD, with a whole set of partners. So Futera partnered with a whole set of partners in order to create a set of consumer actions that laddered up to each of the 17 SDGs. These are now an official part of the UN programme. They're called the Good Life Goals. And we worked with scientists from SEI and IGES in order to work out the fact that actually if a billion people took these actions, we'd have the SDGs licked.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is inspirational. We really do need to build momentum and get going then. So Solitaire, what would your hopes for the industry be? What do you hope to see happen in the next 10 years?
So the consumer goods industry have an incredibly intimate relationship with people around the world. You are in our homes, you are in our bathrooms, you are in our bodies and on our bodies. We feed our children your products. We touch our lives from the moment we're born to near the time when we leave this world. Every single one of the consumer goods companies that are here for the retailers and the manufacturers have this close relationship with the consumer. So how are you going to serve the change that we want to make in our lives? So I don't think the consumer goods companies should see themselves as the heroes. I don't think that's what the consumer wants. The consumer wants to be the hero of change. She's the one who wants to make the world a better place. That is a clear screaming desire that she has. And the brands and the businesses and the retailers that perform in the 21st century will be the ones that serve her ability to do so. How are you going to become the number one partner? How are you going to have her back? How are you going to be her friend as she saves the world?
So final question, and it's the one I like to ask everyone who comes on the podcast. What keeps you motivated and inspired to keep doing the job that you're doing and getting out of bed every day to fight the good fight?
So for the last 20 years, I've been working on big issues such as worker exploitation, labor rights, child labor, climate change, biodiversity loss, plastic, these big challenges every single day. And it can feel overwhelming sometimes. And I'm very motivated by the clients that I work with and the change they're able to bring, by the new products and innovations, by the new business models that people being able to bring. I'm very motivated by young people and their views on this and how that's really pushing for change from every institution. But what I'm most motivated by is people, by the individuals all across the world, here at the CGF and elsewhere who I meet, where I realise that there is this massive community for change and that there are so many people who have unquestionably made the decision that they will make the world a better place.
Well, thank you so much, Solitaire. It was really interesting to talk to you today, and I can't wait to discover all of the new research in the newly updated Honest Product Guide.
Thank you so very much.
If you'd like to find out more about the CGF's work on sustainability and, of course, the Honest Product Guide, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe to the podcast for new episodes coming very shortly. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.